Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, conversations with people at the leading edge. I'm Paula. There's so much we take for granted in our hurry-up world that it's easy to forget how we got here and how slowly our ideas have evolved. Our guest Thomas Cahill is widely known for his Hinges of History series, starting with How the Irish Saved Civilization. Now, Mr. Cahill has examined the origins of the modern era in his book, Mysteries of the Middle Ages. A significant part of that story was the Roman Catholic Church. Like much else, Mr. Cahill sees his church's past as a significant contributor to solving its problems in the future, especially addressing present-day challenges.
The way out of this is to return to the primitive church, where all bishops and clergy were voted into office by the people who considered themselves responsible. They were the church. I think we should keep in mind that the glories of the Catholic Middle Ages were the work of people like Giotto and Dante, and not of the bishops of the Middle Ages any more than they could be today.
Thomas Cahill focuses full-time on his Hinges of History series, having once been prominent in the publishing world. In addition to revealing the early stirring of the modern era in Mysteries of the Middle Ages, his other books include Gifts of the Jews, Desire of the Everlasting Hills, and Sailing the Wine-Dark Sea. Bill Russell and I enjoy Mr. Cahill's stories, so we were delighted when our mutual interest in our past created the present opportunity to welcome him back.
Thomas Cahill, I collect elders, grandparent figures, the way other people collect porcelains or tulip bulbs or whatever. And I have been incredibly lucky over the course of a lifetime to find all of these wonderful people who will fill in the gaps for me of all the things that you could know but you don't because you need a grandparent to tell you. I have a feeling, starting with How the Irish Saved Civilization, that you're filling in some of that grandparenting function for me, going back and finding the things I really need to know that I might have forgotten or never got to. And then you bring it to me with pictures. Now that's grandparenting.
Well, I think that part of the role that I fill is to answer the question that many generally educated people have in their mind or at the back of their mind somewhere. Well, what was that about anyway? Something that they encountered in history or that they encountered in their reading or when they were students, but they never quite got to find out what the beginning, middle, and end of that thing was. So I do that. I say that I read all the books that then my readers don't have to read.
Which is sort of how I read the books, so that my watchers and listeners don't have to read the books. So there's a cascading here of that.
I read a lot of boring, very boring academic books that I wouldn't put anybody else to, but that are important, that have something in them. Maybe there's just, you know, a nugget here, a nugget there. I may have to go through half a book before I find anything that's really usable. Because scholars argue with one another endlessly about things that most of us cannot really get excited about.
Is that the word arcane?
Yeah, well, you know, and sometimes those things prove to be extremely important, either over the short run or over the long run. You know, you can't always say. There are always discoveries to be made, but on the way to making those discoveries, they can succeed in boring us to death.
One of the charming things about a book like yours is we all have this sense of history. We got a form of it in school and had to have a sense that we know what happened and more or less what the elements are. Unfortunately, in some ways, education is wasted on young people. It's not wasted, but it doesn't have the context, the broad context that you have as you get older. And, you know, with your book and lots of other history books, broadly history, one, I find that it looks different just in the way it's presented, because it is less, there are fewer hagiographies.
Being bowed down to that person, well, with or without any recourse.
Well, it's not pure. I mean, it's a more critical reading. But the other part of that is bringing life experience. to reading these things and the broad context of what happened, and in many ways the reality of the individuals involved, mm-hmm. which we tend to lose. I mean, we have events. I mean, that's the way history, at least historically, has been presented. But history is always predicated on people. And what you do wonderfully is get to those people and put them in a real living context.
I have a very simple methodology. In fact, it's so simple. Methodology is probably too grand a title for what it is that I'm doing. And I think that many historians, perhaps most historians, make a mistake in two different ways. One is that they deal, especially contemporary historians, with smaller and smaller pieces of history. 50 years would seem like a long time. Well, you know, there are a lot of things that take hundreds of years to come to fruition, sometimes even thousands of years. Mm-hmm. Some of the most important things for us as human beings grew very slowly over a very, very long time. To give one example, the idea of monotheism, one God instead of many. Well, you know, Abraham starts off with something along those lines. He probably wasn't a real monotheist, but nonetheless,
headed in that direction.
And he's talking to one God who, you know, is his personal God, and little that God becomes more important as the story goes on. Now, many contemporary scholars will say, well, all of that is retrojection by later people, that Abraham either didn't exist or he, who knows what he was like. You know, all we probably have originally are oral stories, and you know, but something is going on there, because at the end of it you do get monotheism. I mean, that's undeniable.
And I'm going to let you keep the second one for when we come back and invite people to join us when you get to the rest of the story. Thomas Cahill is our guest here on The Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell, I, Paula Gordon, and Thomas Cahill will all be back in a moment. And if you want to know what that number two thing is, you will be too.